I need a motion to adopt the agenda for today's meeting. Moved by Robert. Second by Hortensia. Is there any discussion? Bijou. We can't hear you. I'm afraid there's too much noise up front.
I would like to make a motion to remove item 8B from further consideration today. Item 8B being leadership on Senate leadership memo.
A motion has been made to remove item B under new business. Is there a second?
A second.
50 seconds. Discussion. Bijou.
I think it is. It's been addressed in various forums by Dr. Greg Nall. He has offered a formal apology by a PBC faculty, and I think that addresses all the issues that the Senate was concerned with and leadership was concerned with. And I think it sets a precedent that just three people who are the leadership of the Senate can get together and censure a faculty member. It sets a wrong precedent because it amounts to virtual censorship of faculty. So I'm totally against carrying on or voting on this motion 8B, which is the Senate faculty leadership member.
This is the
meeting.
Okay.
Further discussion?
I think that while you're talking about censorship of freedom of speech, the leadership should also have freedom to speak their mind and put that into this forum in whatever way they live. So we censor as far as they is possible.
The question I had is, what's the rationale for your? I assume you brought it to the to be considered or to be read or to be talked about or something. This memo. What's the reason for it? I mean, I know it's kind of a little bit like past tense, so to speak. So
it is past tense.
Is there a usefulness for us today?
The email did state that this would be put in the record at our Senate meeting. And even post-apology, there was a lot of discussion. We were conflicted on what to do, but the memo was attached to an email that said it would be read for the record.
What was your intention? The memo said it was to be read, but your intention was just to incorporate it in the record without being read? So you want to just incorporate the...
No, I think the memo did clearly say it was going to be read.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure.
Further discussion?
I'm sorry, so this is part of the history of this topic?
Yes.
Okay, so it fills in the gaps.
Please, you.
I'd just like to notice that are we really making this into a Senate reading on this statement? Just because of one errant email, when the first email pointed us in the right direction and led to us correcting the resolution, and I agree that he accepted the second email was unnecessary. So one errant email can land a person into a censorship by the Senate leadership. This is not acceptable at all. I think it's just one email. If you are held responsible for one email which was inaptly worded and sent out, and person is being held to account for that one errant email, then this is, I think, excessive. It's not necessary. And his apology covers all the grounds that were necessary to remedy the situation.
Kevin.
I'm somewhat in agreement with Bijou's comment, albeit though for a different reason, being that What has transpired has transpired. It seems to me to be done, and we have a lot to do. And if we were to strike it from the agenda, that could effectively end it, I think, and we can move on.
Robert.
At the risk of saying anything, I point out that there is a difference between freedom of speech and license to slander. The second thing I'd offer is that I feel strongly that whether we discuss it or not, the letter should be placed in the Senate record. And by the way, I would point out what AAUP guidelines have to say about decorum, academic freedom, and one's responsibility. I believe the state Senate does subject this to American Association of University Professor ethical guidelines, does it not?
Yeah, it does. Bruce, then Solomon.
What did you say, Robert? You're at risk for what?
Of saying anything wrong. I think that question needs to be addressed to the chair, please.
I said to the chair, yes. But that's kind of like quite upset. You start off with that.
I think.
Qualification, and are you addressing me to the chair, Robert?
Madam Chairman?
No. Bruce,
would you like me to answer that, or what would you like?
He's requesting you answer it. Solomon, you'll have the floor as soon as the answer is made.
Madam President, enough is enough. We don't have to pursue this to the Supreme Court of the United States of America. The leadership are men and women of impeccable character. And Dr. Noor has already apologized. Can we just get along and let, you know, end this here? What are we going to gain by pursuing this? Enough is enough. We spend time fighting him. Yeah, there are some of us here. It's a part of our deoxyribonucleic acid, our DNA. All we do is fight. It's turning some of us off.
Robert, I believe you had an answer for Dr. Wallace. Robert, I believe you have an answer for Dr. Wallace.
I don't think it's appropriate to give an answer to that in this venue. Thank you.
Louise.
Alina, second, if there are any others, maybe we'll call for the question. I wasn't clear about the motion that was to remove the item from the agenda. Was that correct?
Yes, and it was seconded.
Okay.
If there are no more words for discussion, I would like to call for the vote. All those in favor of striking that item from our agenda, please signify by raising your hands.
High, please.
Yeah. As high as you can.
16.
All those opposed? And abstentions?
Eight. Stricken from the agenda.
The item is stricken from the agenda. I also have an item that I would like to remove from the agenda. I would like to make a motion that under new business, first reading number one, I would like removed from the agenda at this time.
So moved.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I need a second.
So that's cohesive.
The academic standards. I have a motion. Do I have a second? Thank you, Sandra. Any discussion?
I have a question. Would you remove it? Does that mean it's sort of gone forever, or is it going to come back?
No. My reason for doing this is because I have had some discussion with a couple of members, and I've been reading some further things. There's some language that I would like to add as it pertains to our distance learning components. That's why I'd like it removed. Is there any discussion on removing this? Seeing none, all those in favor of removing resolution 2010-2 from the agenda for this meeting, please signify with hands.
I'd like to request a serpentine vote on this matter.
What? All those opposed to removing the resolution from the agenda, signify by raising your hands, please. Zero. All those who abstain, signify with your hands, please. No abstentions. Are there any other amendments or further discussion on adopting the agenda?
I move that we approve it as amended.
So,
second
from Roberts. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Those who abstain? None. Thank you. Now we need to approve the minutes. I need a motion to approve our minutes from Tuesday, October 26th. Brian moves.
Second.
Robert second. Any discussion? Richard, what'd you do?
Page 3 in the minutes, I made a slight error. Page 3, under section 1, or I, after the bold print, first bold print, main motion approved resolution 2010-7. The first and second motion were left blank, and that was a mistake. The first motion should read Louise Gallen. Second motion, Robert Robertson, as stated in the April 27th minutes. In the original motion.
April
27th, yeah. That's all.
Any further discussion or amendments that are needed? I'll call for the question. All those in favor of approving the minutes of our last meeting, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Abstentions? Minutes are approved. All right. We now move to public forum. Are there citizens who wish to be heard? Brian, you have 5 minutes and floor.
Okay, thank you. Actually, I have 3 topics that I'd like to address, so that's 15, that's right?
No, 5 minutes.
5 minutes, or less.
Nice try.
Okay, the three topics are, number one, compressed calendars, maybe a new concept to many of us. Noel Levitt's survey coming up, and some of the results of the Academic Senate meeting that I had, plenary session that I attended last week. Okay, compressed calendars. A couple of years ago, we considered the possibility of shortening our semesters to from 17 and a half weeks to maybe 16 weeks, or some variant of that. About a year ago, Willie asked me, in my capacity of institutional researcher, to investigate the feasibility of it. I produced a report, which I did not make enough copies of. My apologies, but I can give it to you later. Back in September, evaluating all the pluses and minuses of such a calendar and recommending the formation of a task force to look into it. The task force has been formed, has met once, will be meeting again in December. My plan is to come up with a recommendation one way or the other to the college council and ultimately to the entire school what we should do for vis-a-vis compressed calendar. The process, just so you're familiar, the process briefly, if we decide to do this, it takes about 2 years to do, two to three years. So it's not going to happen right away, but it's something that's still worth discussing. And furthermore, we will devote some time in terms of staff meeting time and so on to discuss a compressed calendar. So you may hear people talking about it, that's what this is all about. And there's a report that I have that you can look at. I don't take a position one way or the other, I just recommend that we form a task force, which we did. Second issue is Noel Levitz. I think I mentioned last time we're having the Noel Levitz survey next semester. The key thing I wanted you to keep in mind is that we do need to ask your permission to administer the survey in classrooms. So I know it's a I know you don't want to do that, but it's the only way this could be done for to capture the votes of students with the assessments of students here at Palo College. We have other mechanisms for the inmates and so on. Here. Now, I'll be candid with you, the survey actually takes about 30 to 40 minutes to complete. So at some point at the beginning of the semester, I'll be coming to you and prevailing upon your goodwill and interest and so on and so forth, that we would set up a time at your convenience that you could come into the room in your classroom and present the survey, we being me and other assistants. Last, Academic Senate. I went to the Academic Senate plenary session. That's where they do, if there's a question about how to vote on something and there's a kind of a close vote, that's where they do the serpentine vote, where everyone stands up and then they count off and sit down. It's a way of kind of knowing who's voting, how many people have voted. Anyone familiar with that?
Yeah.
Yeah, someone cool. Said, yeah, it's very, I tried it here once, but somehow it didn't work. Okay, key issues, SB 1440, you all kind of probably heard about it. Here are the key provisions. It affects primarily AA degrees, transfer degrees. What has to be done? Whatever has to be done in the next year or so. So the pressure is on to get some of our degrees revamped. What happens? Maximum of 60 units, no more than 60 units, and the elimination of, for these particular degrees, local institutional requirements, which may affect some of our teaching, some of those students in our teaching. And 18 semester units of major preparation, and then the balance of that 18 to make up the 60 would be for CSUGE requirements or IGETSE requirements or CSUGE requirements. So 60 units is the maximum that they will accept. They could be composed of electives and so on. Some of the institutional requirements could be reverted back to electives, but for now they don't want any more institutional requirements. There is a committee, I think, formed to look to kind of come up with a recommendation, and I don't know a lot of details about that committee, but I'm part of it. Louise and I and David Silva are part of a little piece of that. I'm not sure about the overall picture. Maybe later in the meeting someone could discuss that. A couple other things, very briefly. There were several documents that were approved, one of which was encouraging the librarians to take have a background in instructional pedagogy. So June, we're reassured to know, is very much up on this and knows all about it, so there's not a problem for her. But it was approved. It was not actually a requirement, but just a recommendation. Also, there was a guiding principles for SLO assessment that was presented as a paper, and it was also adopted by the Senate. Very interesting document, and I have a few extra copies if you're interested. Be happy to give those to you. I emailed it to everyone a couple of weeks ago when it was still a draft, but now it's finally approved. Okay, and there's some other changes. So I guess the point is that a lot of change was a big topic. New ideas, new concepts. And accordingly, the best joke that I heard at the conference.
Okay.
Here's the best joke. You ready? How many faculty does it take to change a light bulb? Change?
Excellent timing.
Bijou. Dr. Garcia and I would like to thank the entire college for participating in our astronomy festival, Star Stair Festival. Two weekends ago, it was a big success, and we had about 150 participants over a period of 3 days. And we had some who camped out there and were looking at the stars using the telescopes. And we'll post it on the website soon. So.
Cool.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Any other? Okay, well, on to Are there any announcements? Well, there are, but I was going to do my report. And that's next. Actually, a couple of announcements that came out of College Council's meeting this morning. Number one, campus will be closed to the public on December 20th and 21st. So rather than just part of that week being open, part closed, they will be closed to the public that entire week. Evidently, there are a lot of CSA members that are taking vacation, so they're just going to close to the public. Second, PVC's Christmas party. Speaking of change, this year the Christmas party is December 10th on campus at Mid Building. It is a luncheon that will be catered. It will be at 11:30, 12 o'clock around that area, over in the area of the den. So I'm sure there will be an email coming to us from those that are organizing the event. But and that is a Friday. December 10th is a Friday. And I know we have some guys that might still be teaching at that time. What, did you lie and tell them there was no meeting?
No, I didn't tell them nothing this time. I was laughing when you mentioned Friday. Actually, that's what I was laughing at.
I know.
Yeah.
If you guys have to be teaching the high schoolers and can't get over for the lunch.
Oh, we can.
Okay. Well, some, yeah, food.
Yeah.
Right. But if something comes up and because you have to be working,
we'll
bring it to you. Even if they won't, we will.
And it was for employees only, not guests.
Yes, that's the other thing. It's employees only, no guests. Change in the times that we are in. And I did want to make one comment, and that is the entire matter that has now been supposedly closed, and I'll close it right now. It's not bad. I got a look over here. I just want you to know, as our members, Sherry and Richard and I spent a lot of time in discussion. And they will tell you that I was pretty conflicted. That they'll vouch for that. As to whether or not the memo should be read, and then it didn't get any easier even with the apology. So I'm going to thank the membership, especially DJU, for bringing it to the floor and making that motion.
Everybody needs to know there's a delete button. You don't have to read it.
Well, I know that there's a delete, but I, as your Senate President, I consider it my obligation and part of my duty to read what everyone has to say.
Well, my point is, if something keeps upset, you just don't read it anymore. Delete it.
Actually, I want to finish what I have to say.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. So I really want to thank Sherry and Richard as well for being there and supporting me and not telling me I'm crazy because I didn't want to do this and I didn't want to do that, and for understanding how I was feeling. I do want to thank Dr. Nall for his apology. And with that said, closed. I'll let you have the floor for a minute.
I'd just like to ask if we could get some clarification from the state senate on issues like this, just to know what the general idea is. And second thing is, I just ask folks to remember that when they get on CTA faculty, administration reads it, at least two board members read it, at least one local newspaper reporter reads it. So what we say among ourselves or in meetings is one thing. What goes out to newspaper reporters and the board is something else entirely. And I know for a fact that this stuff is circulated outside this campus.
It is.
Well, we already knew that.
I knew that.
All right. Shall we see if my vice president has a report?
Well,
Well, I would like to remind everybody to please spread the word that I'm going to keep records for the committee, so if you can have agendas and minutes forwarded to me, that would be great. So far, I only have documentation from the wonderful SLO committee.
So you're keeping documentation on the...
On all the committees.
Okay. Oh, yeah, we have minutes for all the basic minutes, skills.
Yes, minutes and agendas if you
yeah,
have. You also want that from the chairs and from the departmental divisional meetings?
That's an excellent question. No, I don't.
But I thought of that all day.
We'll have the division chairs ship those around to each other. Mr. Secretary?
Just want to thank Brian Thiebaud for attending the plenary session for Academic Senate over in Anaheim over the past weekend during a 5-day weekend, turned out to be.
Yeah. Did you mention that I gave up my Saturday?
You gave up your Friday and your Saturday and a little bit of your Sunday. So you missed a whole lot.
No, Thursday, my Veterans Day.
Yeah.
Friday and Saturday.
Yeah.
My Saturday. I'm not asking for sympathy.
You got it. Not our sympathy.
I enjoyed the comments.
No, oh, he was in Anaheim. He was having fun.
Yeah.
So he went in my stead.
Yes. Right. Yes, thank you. All right, committee reports. Are there any committee reports?
Okay, first report, it has to do with accreditation. The college, just very briefly, the college back in January was taken off of sanction. I don't know if you remember this in detail.
Mm-hmm.
I do. It was taken off of warning, but they maintained a requirement that we report back to the commission by October of this year. Progress made in achieving a particular accreditation standard, and that standard has to do with placement of the SLOs in faculty evaluations. Okay. So this was coming up as a requirement. It was actually due in October, but I got an extension a little bit. I surveyed the current leadership of the CPA, Derek and Bill Ponder, as a negotiator, and also Dr. Hotoys, and learned that, in fact, the topic of faculty evaluations and SLOs will be brought up on the table, on the negotiating table, in this year, during this year, 2010-2011, at some point. So in order to comply with the standard, or at least to comply with the requirement for a follow-up report, I prepared a follow-up report addressing that exact set of facts, namely that the college has not taken a position, has not done anything, negotiated anything, but it will be on the table for negotiations. And furthermore, that the topic was initiated by the college administration. So the report was just reviewed today by the college council. It will be looked at and accepted, presumably, by the board. It's submitted tomorrow. And I'll just read to you a little piece of that, if I may, just so you and this will be available for copies if you want tomorrow, because I just need one more signature from the board chair. Okay, again, this is the standard, the requirement of the standard. It says the college, this is the commission standard, the college should provide evidence that faculty and others directly responsible for student progress toward achieving stated student learning outcomes have, as a component of their evaluation, effectiveness in producing those learning objectives. It says objectives, in quote, they really mean outcomes. College response. The college recognizes that matters of pertaining to faculty evaluations are part of the collective bargaining process. This point was addressed in the college's follow-up report dated October 15, 2008. Furthermore, in its follow-up report dated October 15, 2009, the college indicated that the chair or representative of the Student Learning Outcomes Committee, a committee of the Academic Senate, would, quote, review with the CTA Executive Board and other college officials more specific approaches that could be acceptable to all parties and that would satisfy the recommendation, end quote. Final paragraph. The result of these efforts is that during the 2010-2011 academic year, the inclusion of student learning outcomes assessment and faculty evaluations will be among the topics considered in collective bargaining between the Alberta College Association, GTA, and the Palo Verde College Community College Board of Trustees. So that's our response, and this is signed by Hotaway's, Derek Koppel, and Ponder. And it acknowledges that, in fact, the matter is brought up by the college administration. Yes, sir.
Negotiations, to me, implies that you give and take. So if evaluations are being brought up by the administration, I would assume they want more, squeeze more blood out of the turnip. So is this implying that perhaps there's more, there's going to be some money on the line?
I'm not the negotiator.
No, I'm just throwing this out to kind of get the question going. You don't have to answer.
Yeah, I can't comment because I don't know.
I don't know what else.
My purpose here.
Point of order. Point of order. It's a CTA issue.
The CTA issue, and my point is we're simply complying.
I'm not trying to get an answer. I'm just throwing it out.
Can't answer your question. I just don't know. We'll find out, though.
Yeah.
Questions?
Thank you, Brian.
This was discussed at the SLO committee.
Tensha, you had a report?
I attended one of the, I guess I'm going to report under articulation and transfer because we and Irma kind of briefly talked about the SB 1440.
Yes.
From what I gathered from attending that webinar was that we really didn't have to touch our original associate's degree, but developed a new one, a new one.
Okay.
However, an email was sent out by Denise at the five disciplines that they were looking at. Please do look at that. It's very important that each department looks at their discipline because some of the courses that they are considering for this transfer program, we don't have. So take a look at that and make your comments right in there. No, we don't have this course. We don't offer this course here at this campus. Because I noticed that in different disciplines I went in there. But I prefer that each discipline, there's five of them out there that they have a TCM, what's it called? The
Transfer Model. TMC.
Look at that because it's very important. Yeah. I really want your guys' feedback in there because some of those courses we do not offer as of now.
Can I comment on Tensha's?
Briefly.
It's a good point that I failed to mention that the statewide academic senate is working in tandem with the CSU faculty and so on in formulating the various models, they're called transfer model curricula for various courses. But remember, they are, as I understand it, simply models. It doesn't mean we have to emulate them exactly. We can fill in something similar to it. It's close, but they're trying to do all the heavy lifting for us so that we can make it reduces the burden on us.
This is a time for us to go in there and make comments.
And I do repeat, Tensha, in that you need to go in and look at what they have there. What can we fill? What do we need to fix that we do offer? Start looking at that so that we are ready to help our students out. Louise, you have a committee report?
Yes. The Basic Skills Committee has been meeting. Thank you for those of who are participating. We're continuing to do a lot of work, but I wanted to remind the rest of the Senate membership that last year we passed a resolution here giving all of us a year to complete the prerequisite reviews, and we're just coming up on that year. So the intent was for all of the divisions to have it completed by the end of the semester is basically what our resolution had said. Mm-hmm. So just reminding you that we're still moving on that you may have seen some minutes from the Basic Skills Committee and some recommendations from some review work that it has undertaken because there are a lot of courses that don't really have, although they're within divisions, they don't necessarily have as many homes to do like philosophy and art and some of those subject areas that are mostly taught by adjuncts. So we've done quite a bit of work, but I'm assuming that all of the divisions have moved forward on that. So that was an academic Senate resolution last year.
Thank you. Any other committee reports?
Can I ask a question?
Oh, go ahead,
Louise. Louise,
I put forward some prereq changes that were approved, but they haven't been made. They haven't been implemented. What's the process, and when will those changes be part of the official course outlines and actually be put in place?
The typical standard is that they go to the curriculum committee that approves them, and then they're sent to catalog. Actually, the curriculum committee can, depending upon how they implemented them, to say they would give an effective date on them, and then that means they are implemented. So then it's just following through from. It's not your job to follow through, but keep an eye on it. But it should take place, and there are changes that need to be made by Datatel, et cetera. And those are done through the instruction office.
But those changes, if they've already been approved by curriculum, should they be
in the next catalog?
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other committee reports, Brian?
The budget committee met last week, and the topic was to review maybe half a dozen program review updates. Those are program reviews primarily by the professional technologies faculty. And they were all approved. I think one was sent back for further discussion from a budgetary standpoint. And the reason why the budget committee is involved in program review is that this was an accreditation requirement that we have some interface between budgeting, planning, and program review. So program reviews, if you're working on that this year, we'll look at it from the program review committee, then it goes to the budget, and eventually reviewed by the college council, which is essentially the planning agency, the planning body for the college. One last point, Jerry Butler gave the report. Budget is okay. The only drawback is that we're getting payments in referred to as deferrals, promised to pay. Pay you, but not today. So the result of that is to make up for a cash flow shortage, borrow money, which of course costs money to do so. So we have a budget, but it's the money, there's a cash flow problem there in terms of getting the money. So we have to consequently borrow to make up for that lack. So that's where we are.
All right, thank you. Any other? What?
Where am I today? Student Learning Outcomes Committee met 10 minutes ago, 20 minutes ago. We discussed all the matters that I brought up. The report, the result of the meeting last week, and then specifically spent time on the Guide to Evaluating Institutions. Did I mention this already?
Sure. Yes. Yes.
Very useful. SLO committee.
I'm almost afraid to ask, are there any more committee reports?
I'm done.
Matriculation is now on the website.
Okay. All right. Now we need to move forward to unfinished business. And I would like to ask Richard Castillo, our secretary, to check status on the bylaws before making a motion to bring them off the table.
Well, the bylaws were, the last time we discussed it, the only amendment that was made to the bylaws was to change the terms for the officers from 1 year to 2 years, and that was approved. That is the only amendment, and so the only thing that is needed is a motion to bring the document from the table to open it up for further discussion and or amendments and move to approval.
Yes, but are you making a motion?
Bring it out and have it discussed.
Okay, is that your motion?
That's my motion.
Okay, she made the motion. Now we need a second.
Second.
Louise, second.
Take it off the table. Put it back in the air.
It is back. Do we need discussion? We don't need to discuss it's on the table now, so
Can we see it?
Yeah, we'll bring it up. Can you bring it up on your computers as well? It might be easier.
Yeah.
It is now open for discussion. Are there any other changes, amendments that you have noted over the several months that we've had to look this over? Yes, Barb.
This is just
a thing that I don't know how to fix, and I'm going to go through the language arts people. But under Section 1 Business, Number 1, the definition of a quorum has the thing that a majority of the Senate that's present.
Yeah.
Which is one of those things that makes it say whoever's in the room, get 50% plus one of them, and that's a quorum. And I'm not sure that that's what was meant.
That's under Article 4.
Article 4, Organization and Action, Section 1, Business.
And I just want to know, would it be good to just remove the word present? If that would be closer to what is meant.
A simple
majority of the academic Senate members. Members, just take out the word present.
She needs to make a motion for the amendment.
Right. You need to make a motion for that amendment? And we are doing one amendment at a time, please. Yes.
Move to amend Article 4, Section 1, Paragraph 1, Sentence Sub A, to read, a quorum shall be a simple majority of the academic Senate, period.
Second that.
Seconded by Kenneth.
I think.
Is there any further discussion on that particular motion?
Actually, I think, yes.
Louise?
I think it is a simple majority of the academic Senate membership. I think it needs that word.
Does she need to make a motion on that?
Yeah. We're still on the discussion.
There's still discussion.
Any further discussion? I'm going to call for the vote on the following amendment. Article 4, Section 1, Business. 1. A, a quorum shall be a simple majority of the academic Senate membership. That is the amendment. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Abstentions?
Okay. Motion carries.
Motion carries on that amendment. All right. Are there any other amendments that you would like to see made? Yes. Senate membership. Robert.
Can I just ask a clarifying question? This is all straight out of state academic Senate, right?
Correct.
Yeah. It is. Louise, you have the floor.
It's been a while since I looked at this, but we talk in here about senators throughout it, but we don't ever say that we are a Senate of the whole. That all, and we don't define who, because we talk about who can vote and all that, we talk about senators, but without defining who senators are.
Yeah.
If you go to Article 1 definitions, Senator, number 2. Article 1 definitions on page 1.
Sorry.
Number 2, Senator, a faculty member who participates in academic Senate by means of or but limited to voting, committee work, and or other tasks assigned or a volunteer. And also, senators are defined under the Title 5 subsection.
Other discussion, other amendments?
So,
Louise.
So, by this definition, if you are a faculty member and do not participate in the academic senate, let's say you just choose to not come, then you are not a senator. And you choose to come some of the time, but not all the time, are you a senator? Or you are an adjunct faculty and you choose to participate, are you a senator?
It says by participate by means of, but not limited to. So that opens the limit to limitlessness. You can do anything, even to sitting here and breathing, or not breathing. You're a member.
Yes, Barb.
And for Article 2, membership, section 2, part-time faculty, it does state that the Senate recognizes its responsibility to encourage and solicit membership of part-time faculty. And full-time faculty, it says, shall be members. So that doesn't sound like full-time really have a choice. And that's a Title V item.
Full-time does not have a choice.
What? Full-time faculty do not have a choice. It is one of our obligations.
But, and then it's an obligation of the Senate to attempt to get participation from their part-time faculty. And they have been most kind in doing that for me. And we have tried this very hard.
Third class up here, lady?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Further discussion, other amendments. Sorry, it's a public meeting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Louise?
Yeah. And I move to strike the definition for senator under Article 1. Definitions because it is misleading.
Is this coming from the state?
Louise, this comes directly from the state.
I know because 95% of the colleges are not senators of the whole and they are elected senators. And you have to be elected to be a senator. That's the problem. We don't do business that way. Everybody here is a senator, so it becomes a that makes it the problem. That's why.
Are you making a motion?
Yeah, I said I move to strike the definition under definition 2 of senators.
We need a second. Is there a second to that motion? Hearing or seeing no second, the motion fails. Further amendments or discussion, Robert?
Could I just ask, is that definition of a senator specifically out of state senate?
Yes, it is.
Well,
yes,
they
sir.
Can write for beans, but who cares?
Are we doing it?
Doing fine.
Okay. Amendments, discussions.
I move that we approve this as presented with the whatever amendments we made to this or corrections.
Are you calling for the question?
Okay, I'm calling for the question.
Second.
Okay, the question has been called. All those in favor of approving our revised bylaws as presented and amended today. What?
I'm voting already.
I was like, what? All those in favor, signify by raising your hands high if you are in favor.
Oh, dear God. That's unanimous.
Is it seriously?
Yeah.
Governance.
Hey, we finally finished.
Governance. Paragraph 4, last word.
I do want to point out that this is a living document, so there will be some more work on it, as there are some, it's boilerplate, as we stated from the very beginning. So from time to time, some things might come up, or if you have any other ideas, please get with me. I'll be convening that committee together in a short while in the spring semester to continue some more work on it if anything needs to come up.
I would like a motion to table resolution 2010-3 to our next meeting. Motion to table. So moved, second. Teju seconded. Any discussion on that? Oh, I didn't think so. All those in favor of tabling that resolution to our next meeting, and it'll bless you. Aye. Signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Nay.
Okay.
I'm.
You can't have it both ways.
I have to change my mind. This has been around since 2009.
Yes, but we are not going to be able to
do anything on it
in
since
5 minutes. Any abstentions? Louise, abstain.
It had its first reading.
No, it did not.
February 23rd.
No, that's when it was first introduced.
It was first introduced, but it was not read.
Oh.
All right. So we are tabling that. Are there any? The floor is open to business. If there is anything that you would like to see on the agenda for future business.
How about the faculty email? How do we determine who is on there? We keep hearing about this newspaper person. Is he still teaching or what?
That's Marty.
Okay. And how do we decide who is on there and who is?
Cookie.
Maybe yeah. Cookie.
Let me get a hold of Rich Soto and ask him, and maybe he can come and talk to us. Brian?
I think SB 1440 needs to be put on the agenda in some form of progress report or whatever. I would volunteer to do it unless there is someone else who's been doing this, and I don't know who that person.
We have a committee.
Yeah, whoever that committee is. Yeah. Is anyone?
Tension, Armand.
Okay.
Well, it's a transfer bill, so I'm very into it because I want to know.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But I think it should be brought up in a formal way, not just as a.
And I think you'll let us know if you have something you would like to put on the agenda.
Yes, I will.
Thank you.
I'll just report it under articulation and transfer because it SB 1440 is a transfer.
Right.
Okay.
As long as Brian doesn't report it, he takes up the committee reports too.
Yeah, I don't
know. Sorry, Brian.
Any other future business, Mr. Ponder?
I may have missed this. Do we have any policy dealing with distance ed or distance learning so far as who can take it and who cannot? For instance, if somebody didn't have a C average, should they be allowed, or should we put them in for distance learning classes?
We can't. I don't think we can do that under, was it open access, or, yeah. Counselors know these laws better than I think I do, and I've come across this before with that same question. We cannot stop someone from enrolling into a class. Unless, of course, there's a prerequisite standing in their way. That's the only way to stop them.
Well, like they have to have a C average.
Brian, and then Bijou, then Robert.
Picking up on Bill's point, actually, I'd like to bring up a broader question, and that is the status of distance ed programs, of which Bill's question is a part. Right now, my understanding is that I thought we approved some kind of a thing a couple of months ago. And I don't know if that document addresses, in a kind of not real good way, but it still addresses it somehow, accreditation standards for distance ed or community ed or whatever it's called, correspondence ed. We need to clarify what needs to be done. Here's why. I'm not really impressed too much by the urgency factor, except that the interpretation given by our current administration is that we're holding off on all online or new online classes until we get standards put in place, which may include this document as well as a revision of the course outline template and so on. So there's a whole bunch of stuff that is kind of being blocked, and it's not clear who's doing what on this. I know it's a curriculum matter, curriculum issue, and I think that it's on the curriculum this week committee. But I think we need to be much more attuned to what is going on with distance ed, particularly with new online classes. So that's my suggestion for next month. Maybe the distance ed committee can report on that. Whoever that is.
Okay.
Vicki.
That's Vicki.
Vicki. Mm-hmm. Well, let's bring Vicki.
We can ask her.
Bijou has one.
Right. Bijou?
Yes, we do have a way by which we can stop students from taking a particular class, because in the course outline you can say you have to have passed, say for example, CHE 210, you need to have passed CHE 101 with a C or better.
Yeah, that's
so the there is a way you can.
That's the only way we can do it.
That's the only way you can do it.
Yeah, the prerequisite is the only thing that will stop them.
You can't put a prerequisite on all distance
classes.
No.
No. Robert.
I'd like to ask the Senate to get some data, and the data would be on community, by which I mean not locked up, students and their completion and pass rates for distance education courses. It's my impression that the failure rate is north of 3/4 for community students who take distance ed courses.
We will work on that. Thank you. Okay, we are right almost on 4 o'clock. We have 4 items for future business. And I would like to entertain a motion for adjournment. Bijou made a motion. Ryan, second. All those in favor, signify by running.